Well, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast today. My name is Bill Young, and you're listening to Faith is a Lifestyle. This week, we're continuing our study called Healing and Health, Living Long and Living Strong. So far, we've studied the redemptive work of Christ and looked at four little Hebrew words in quite great detail in Isaiah chapter 53. That chapter, Isaiah 53, is the great redemptive chapter of the Bible. It lets us know that Jesus was not just our sin-bearer on the cross, but he also bore our sickness and carried our pains. Now again, we'll refer to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. This is the scripture that we began this series with. Beginning with verse 16, it says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah," or Esaias the prophet, saying, "Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing and health. Matthew understood this, and his words are indeed an inspired translation of Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5. Peter also understood this, as he wrote his epistle and declared in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed," or "ye were healed." Peter, looking back at the cross, declared that by the stripes that Jesus bore, we were, past tense, healed. The redemptive work of Christ is the basis for healing of the physical body. All throughout the scripture, we see evidence that healing of the physical body is part of God's redemptive plan. Now, in this week's lesson, we're going to look at several erroneous concepts, and we're going to concentrate on one of them, that have been taught about sickness and disease. I recall reading a book about Smith Wigglesworth in which he stated, "Where people are in sickness, you find frequently that they are dense about the Bible. They usually know three verses, though. They know about Paul's thorn in the flesh, that Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for your stomach's sake, and that Paul left someone sick somewhere. They forget his name, don't remember the name of the place, and don't even know where the chapter is." Now, Wigglesworth said that, not me. We need to have a good understanding about what the Bible has to say about healing and health if we want to walk in it. This week, we're going to look at a commonly taught concept that is erroneous. That is, that God is glorified in sickness. I mentioned in an earlier lesson that I encountered a young guy years ago who tried to convince me that God makes people sick so that he can be glorified as people watch this poor person suffer. "God gets glory," this man told me, "as people see how this person maintains their character and grace and how they bear up under the weight of this suffering." Come on, give me a break. We're going to debunk that unscriptural, erroneous concept right out of the gate today. Now, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Beginning with verse 1, notice what it says. "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, here's a portion of Scripture that's often misunderstood because people don't finish the narrative. It's just like the book of Job. You'll never understand Job and his suffering unless you read the whole book. All the answers are there, right in the book. Now, here in this story about Jesus' friend Lazarus, you'll not understand this statement that Jesus made until you finish the story. Now, I want to zero in on verse 4. Notice what Jesus said. "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now, the word glory here is the Greek word doxa, and it means praise, honor, and worship. So Jesus said that this sickness was not deadly, or to end in death, the word here is thanatos, but for praise, honor, and worship of God. Now, let's finish the story, and we'll notice something very powerful here. Now, I'm going to skip a few verses so we can focus in on this one concept. Is God glorified in sickness? Now, notice John chapter 11, we'll pick up on verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he said to his disciples, "Let's go into Judea again." His disciples said to him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone you, and you go there again?" Let's go down to verse 14. Then Jesus said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let's go unto him." Verse 17. Then Jesus came. He found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother hadn't died. But I know that even now, whatever you will ask of God, he'll give it to you." Verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother shall rise again." Let's go down to verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Then Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinks, for he's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of powerful truth in these verses about Jesus and who he is and his redemptive purpose in this narrative. But I want to focus on this concept of God being glorified in sickness. In these verses, we can readily see one thing. Everybody knew that Jesus and Lazarus and his sisters were close friends. When Lazarus died, it caused people to question. Notice verses 21 and 37. Verse 21. Then Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." Verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died?" Now we can readily see that the death of Lazarus was not only a shock to those who knew him, but it caused people to wonder why Jesus did not come and minister to him so that he would not have died. Now, you can obviously see that God's not getting any praise, honor, or worship, glory, up to this point. God's getting a lot of questions, not praise. Now, I want you to notice Jesus' words to Martha, the sister of Lazarus, as he came to the grave. We'll go back to verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, comes to the grave. It was a cave and had a stone laying on top of it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he's been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God?" When Jesus said, "You take away the stone," Martha said to Jesus, "I don't think you want to do that, Jesus. He's been dead 4 days, and he doesn't smell too good about now." Notice what Jesus replied. "Said I not unto thee that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Notice that they had not seen the glory of God yet. Up to this point, through Lazarus' sickness and subsequent death, God had received no glory. Rather, questions had arisen about why Lazarus had died. Questions had arisen about why Jesus didn't come to the aid of his friend. This sickness and subsequent death of Lazarus instead caused confusion and doubt and caused many, including Martha, to question why. Well, we all know what happened next. Notice verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. And I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. Now when Lazarus was raised from the dead, it shook the entire region. Not only did many believe on him because of this miracle, it set in motion, in part, the events that would lead to the crucifixion of Jesus. This miracle blew the doors off the religious establishment. People came from everywhere, not just to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus. And what a testimony he had. The chief priests were so envious of Jesus that they even consulted to have Lazarus put to death, because this miracle literally changed things in a powerful way, and people were believing on Jesus by the multitudes. Now, in this account, we can clearly see that God was glorified not in the sickness and death of Lazarus, but he was glorified, praised, honored, and worshiped when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, let's continue this study of the erroneous, unscriptural concept that God is glorified in sickness. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. And we'll begin with the first verse. Matthew chapter 9. Notice what it